There's nothing in the world more exciting than serving God. When you look at us older guys, I'm not as old as sometimes the introduction sounds. At least I don't feel old. But I know this, I'd rather spend my life serving God than anything else in the world. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 18. Just previous to this, Peter has been in close conversation with Jesus. And the conversation that you've read many times, Jesus is saying to him, "Do you really love me?" And Peter says, "Lord, you know I do." But then we come to verse 18, and the Lord is speaking, and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter seeth him, seeing him, said unto Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus said unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, "He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. I wanted to speak this morning. In fact, I chose a title, and I was going to say 8 words that can change your life, but I changed my title to simply this, words that can change your life, because when I went back and read the same words in other languages, I found that in French, instead of 8 words, it was only 6 words. Que t'importe, toi suis moi. Then I checked it in Wolof and found out it was 8 words. And then when I went to Japanese, the same phrase took 15 words. But I want to speak this morning to you on some words that can change your life. And they're the latter part of verse number 22. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. And the Lord starts here with 2 things, a question and a command. What is that to thee? That's the question. And the command is this, follow thou me. Peter's life really started when he met Jesus Christ. He was saved and he'd called him to be a fisher of men. And early on, he had heard those words, follow me, and he tried to do that. He had seen the miracles. He heard the messages. He saw the glory of Christ. He was one of those 3 disciples that spent more time with Christ than many of the others. Yet, Peter had denied the Lord, and his heart had been broken. Now, after the resurrection, apparently, Peter had not quite settled in his mind exactly his standing with the Lord. And in the first part of this chapter, John 21, he had gone fishing. And we don't know all the reasons behind that, but he had gone fishing and he had gotten the other men to go with him. And it brings us to our scene today as I didn't read the verses, but the Lord Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Peter, do you really love me?" 3 times he repeated that. And as you read this, and you can almost feel for Peter, he said, "Lord, you know that I love you." And it doesn't matter what word it is in English or in Greek or in some other language, but "Lord, you know my heart. You know I really love you." And then Christ went on to reveal to Peter the ministry and death that was coming up in front of him. But even in a serious time like this, when Peter is doing business personally with Christ, Peter's still Peter. Now I want you to listen. It only took 1 night for God to get Israel out of Egypt. But it took 40 years for God to get Egypt out of Israel. And it only takes 1 moment for God to bring us into His family, but it takes a lifetime, young people, to know Christ in fullness and have Christian character. There are three things, three words that would probably best describe Peter's nature. One would be this word, impulsive. I don't think the other disciples ever knew exactly what Peter was going to say. There may be some of you like that. Your roommates, your teachers may not be quite sure what's going to come out of your mouth next. He was very impulsive. He was inquisitive. Yeah, Lord, what about this other guy? Full of questions. And then he was temperamental. Now, I know none of you would ever be that way. Happy one moment, depressed the next. And Peter says to the Lord, what about this man? Isn't it remarkable how different they were? John was a dreamer, contemplative, having visions. Peter was a practical man. Let's get it done. Aren't you glad? Now think about it a moment. Aren't you glad that we're all different? We all have different personalities. We have different temperaments. But when you see these men as different as they are, and Peter is saying to the Lord, what about this guy that's always dreaming? What about the visionary? The amazing thing is when you come to the book of Acts a few pages later in God's Word, you see these two very different men and others working together and complementing each other. For 16 years, my family and I worked in the country of Senegal. There were four families of us there over the years. My family and I went from France first there, and then the Bragg family later, and then eventually the Lindquist family, and then the Amos family. There were four families of us who worked together over those years. You could not get more different people together. The Lindquist family, they're from California. The Braggs are from Western Missouri. My family and I are from South Carolina. Brother Lindquist went to Biola. Brother Bragg went to Bob Jones University. I went to Tennessee Temple. Brother Lindquist was a Green Beret. Brother Amos was an Air Force man. Brother Bragg was a sailor, and I was a Marine. I want you to hear me this morning. All four of us had different personalities, different temperaments, different backgrounds, yet we loved each other because we loved God. And we worked together and loved working together. And you hear stories about missionaries who feud and fight. I'm sure that's true somewhere, and pastors sometimes do that. But can I say to you this morning, it need not be that way, because it's not about us, it's about Him. So, if the practical man had no poet to dream, he would kill himself with activity. If the poet had no practical man at hand, he would sigh himself away. Let me give you some short points this morning from these words that I think will help you. A question and a command. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. I want you first of all this morning to consider the Lord's question. If you're allowing another person to keep you from trusting and serving the Lord. You know, it's so easy to look at other people. This is a sensitive area. It's so easy to look at the failures of other people and blame our lack of service to God on their failures. What about this man? Can I just remind you this morning that when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat, there are going to be no excuses. We're not going to be able to say, but Lord, remember Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker or some other pastor or some other missionary. When we stand before Him, this is going to be the truth, Romans 14:12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself before God. It's so easy to look at someone else and what they did or what they didn't do or how they failed and let that discourage us. And the Lord asked us a question this morning. What is that to thee? Peter, what are you worrying about John for? Give your heart and your life to serve the Lord yourself. And you know, sometimes it may be the person closest to you who will keep you from serving Christ. It may be a mom or dad. It may be a brother or sister. It may be a best friend. It may be a roommate. One of my daughters, we have three daughters. We have five children, but three daughters. One of my daughters, and I won't say which one, but she got married. She married a guy from a different state, and they were living in that state. And she had grown up on the mission field and been around missionaries and missionary kids all of her life. And National Christians, and she married into this family, and it was quite a shock for her because Sunday morning going to church, everybody got up late, everybody was sort of ill, and in the car on the way to church, they were having little arguments and feuds sometimes, but when they got to church and they stepped out of the car, all of a sudden, the fussing and the feuding ended, and they put a smile on their face and walked into church. And my daughter had a little bit of problem getting used to that. But I hope she had learned enough from us to know that it's not what someone else does. It's not someone else's failures. What if others do fail? What is that to you? And that's the question Christ asked us today. Do not look at the failures of someone else and let their failures keep us from serving Him. My second consideration is this. I want you to look at the Lord's question if you've been hurt by some other Christian. Now, you might think, well, Christians would never do that, really. How many of you went to a Christian school? How many of you thought that I'm going to go to Christian school so that I will be around sweet, kind, lovely, wonderful people who would never be rude, crude, and mean? If that was your thought about going to Christian school, you're probably very disappointed because you learned early that it can be some of God's best people, maybe unintentionally, maybe intentionally, who can hurt you. Christians can be cruel. Christians can be self-righteous. And there are many people, I meet them everywhere I go, there are many people who used to fervently serve the Lord who are not doing it anymore because they've been hurt by someone. Some cruel word, some careless word, bitterness has replaced blessing. And we have wounded Christians all over this country and all over the world. I was pastor of my sending church for 9 years. One of the things I found early on was that a lot of people just need someone who will love them and be kind to them. They're hurting wounded people everywhere we go. They're casualties to someone's caustic remarks and gossips. Did you notice even in this story how gossip distorted the situation? It was told that in verse number 23, then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Well, Jesus didn't say that at all. If you were here last night, you heard me tell some of you were out on extension. It didn't, but a month ago, 4 Sundays ago, a church announced to my death. That afternoon, people were calling me. And I was saying to them, who did you think was going to answer the phone if I was dead? Gossip can distort the situation. Has your Christian life and your walk for God been injured because of some words, some thoughtless behavior of another believer? I want you to notice that this question and this command that we're looking at today is not a mass invitation, it's an individual summons. What is that to thee? Someone's hurt you. We always regret that. I think it's sad when some Christian hurts someone else by their words, by their actions. Sometimes it's not, it's just something we perceive. We think everybody's talking about us. When I was pastor, people would come and say, "Brother, Pastor, I know everybody in the church is talking about me and they're just gossiping about me." And I would always say to them, "You can relax, that's not true." And they would say, "Well, Pastor, how do you know that?" And I would respond this way, "I know that because they're too busy thinking and talking about themselves than they are to worry about you." There's some of you sitting here this morning before me, you've been hurt by the careless words or actions of some other believer. The question Christ would have us answer this morning is this: what is that to thee? Follow me. Don't let what someone else has said or done keep you from serving Him. Let me give you my third consideration. I want you to notice the Lord's question today. If you're envying another person's talents or position, "Lord, what's this man going to do?" Have you ever noticed this? Peter wanted to compare. "I'm going to feed the sheep. What's John going to do? I'm going to die as a martyr. What about this other man? May I remind you all this morning that God does not deal with us on a comparative basis. He deals with us on an individual basis. He saves us individually. He calls us individually. He rebukes us individually. He rewards us individually. And it's so easy to look at someone else and think, boy, if I could sing like that person, or if I could preach like that evangelist, if I could teach a class like that teacher, look, here's the word of Christ for you today. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. God made you, you. God didn't make you Dr. Getch. God didn't make you Brother Godfrey. God didn't make you Dr. Rasmussen. God made you, you. And you may, it's always been interesting, these men have been around a while like I have, and seeing some young men stand up and try to preach like someone else. I remember, I'm telling my age for sure now, but I remember Dr. John R. Rice. Dr. Rice would pull his glasses down and look over his glasses and preach this way and look out. I've seen young men do the same thing. They didn't even need glasses. When you get to a certain age, you have to have a little help. But it's not looking over your glasses. It's not doing some motion. It's not doing some action with your hands. It's being who God made you. And Christ says, don't look at other people and don't be distracted by, you don't have the talent they have. That's okay. God's given you the talents that He wants you to have. God's given you the abilities that He wants you to have. And God wants you to use them. Have you been losing God's best because you're envious of another person's position, another person's talents, another person's successes? And I was in a missions conference recently, and someone told one of the young missionaries, when you don't have war stories unless you've been to the war. And you wonder, where did Dr. Sis come up with all those stories? About 60 years of preaching the gospel. So don't look at someone else's positions and success and speaking ability and money, if I had their money, or their attention that they have. Here's the question, what is that to thee? May I say to you this morning as I finish, God often chooses people who do not have a lot to offer in the eyes of the world. God often chooses the person that everyone else would say, I'm not sure God could use them. It's a critical time in the life of a young servant of the Lord when they begin to look at others and let those other people get their eyes off of Christ. The question today for us is this: what is that to you? You follow me. And if this is where you've been failing this morning, and maybe you have been hurt, or maybe you've been distracted, let me give you some good words of advice as I finish my message this morning. Mine your own business. Don't spoil your own soul's condition by fussing about another man. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all just say, Lord, here I am. You made me this way. I look this way. I speak this way. I'm not talking about sin issues. I'm talking about your temperament, your personality, your talents. Lord, you made me this way. I'm going to do the best I can to heed your command, not to be looking at other people, but to follow those last two words, follow me.